Our scripture text this morning will be taken from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Matthew 5, 37. We'll read it in its context, beginning in verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now this morning we continue in our study of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus here is addressing the root cause of the ninth commandment, which prohibits bearing false witness. Not only does the ninth commandment prohibit bearing false witness in terms of false oaths and blatant lies, but also dishonesty in speech in general. And this is what our Lord here is getting at. It can begin with a pattern of careful omissions, you know, little details in the truth that you might have forgot to mention, or flowery words, you know, embellishing the truth and making things sound a little bit different, maybe a little more glorifying than they really are. And Jesus here says, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. Now, Jesus is not against dictionaries here. He's not, that's not his point here. The idea here is that he's basically saying, answer honestly and straightforwardly in all of your communications. Straightforward honesty ought to be one of the hallmarks of the Christian. We want to look at this from three aspects this morning. First, be straight up in your communications. Secondly, and opposite of that, take heed that you're not deceptive in your communications. And third, let us look at the example of our Lord. God is straight up with you and I. First, be straight up in your communications. I'm sure you've all heard the secular proverb that honesty is the best policy. Of course, we ought to be clear when we speak. It reduces misinterpretations. I love what Solomon says in Proverbs. He who has knowledge spares his words. He who has knowledge spares his words. Strive for clarity in speech. It also says in the book of Proverbs, if you say very little, even in the case of the fool, people will count the fool wise because of the scarcity of their words. It's a wise thing not to say too much, because many times we can err and go beyond the truth without even realizing it. We might put ourselves in a position where we have to, or we might feel we have to justify something we said that wasn't quite accurate in all of its details, or maybe wasn't quite the most honest, straightforward way to say it. Be truthful at all times. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. And again, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Now, what about situations where we might not tell the truth, right? Is there ever a time where it's okay to tell a lie? Well, to be sure, I would submit that there is, and I kind of follow the same logic, Augustinian logic, you know, in terms of just war and this sort of thing. There could be an extreme situation, for instance, in Nazi Germany. If you're a family and you have a Jewish family living in your basement, and the Gestapo calls and knocks on your door, and they want to know if such and such lives there or is taking refuge on your premises. In a case like that, to serve a greater good, if you will, greater scriptural principles, in other words, love of God and love of neighbor, in order to betray that family, you would have to violate the principle of loving your neighbor as oneself. And so in a case like that, it's okay. But you know what? In your lifetime, you're probably not going to face very many, if any, situations like that. So don't use that as a license to omit certain things from the truth or to add things. Chances are you won't face a situation like that. But I won't make the blanket statement that it's never okay. Because I guess for every rule you might have 1,000 exceptions. You have to weigh one scriptural principle against another when you find that they're in conflict. And seek God's will on the thing. Now, to be truly truthful, you must cast off your pride and put on the garment of humility. One of the things I learned when I was studying this subject in the scriptures is the connection that exists between truth and humility and pride and false witness. Even when it comes to salvation, right? In order to understand truth, you have to cloak yourself with humility. It's only when we come to Christ saying, I have the clothes on my back and I've got a few good works which are absolutely useless in your sight, Lord, and therefore I cast myself at your feet seeking your mercy. It's only when we're humble that we can understand truth and live in the truth. Now, there were many in that day, and there are many even in today's day and age, who are full of pride and therefore reject the truth. Notice Lucifer. What was his sin? What was the sin of the devil by which he fell into such a great condemnation? The sin of pride. The sin of pride. And what then came out of that? We find him in another place being called the father of lies. Pride and dishonesty are connected. Humility and truth, likewise. Second point, do not be deceptive in your communications. Telling people what they wish to hear. Let's start with God. Have you ever told God what you thought he wanted to hear from you? And he can see right through that. But sometimes in the moment, we don't quite understand. We don't quite get that ourselves. I think of the parable that Jesus told of the two sons of the father. And the father owned this vineyard. And the father says to each of his sons, go work in my vineyard. And one says, I go, sir. And he does not go. And the other says, no, I will not go. And then after a while, he comes to his senses and he changes his mind and he goes. How have you responded to Christ's call? When Christ called you, how do you respond? When he called you out of the world for salvation, to be separated unto him, to live differently. Did you say, I go, sir? And did not go. There's still time to come to your senses, to change your mind, and to go according to the oath that you've promised. Maybe you said, I will not go. And you're at the place right now where you say, you know what? I said I will not go. And I've been kicking and screaming for days, for weeks, for months on end. And I think it's about time that I go. Because this just isn't cutting the mustard, what I'm doing. Christian, have you done this? See, God's given you certain natural abilities, certain spiritual gifts. You've professed Christ as your Savior, your Lord, your God, and your Savior. You understand the gospel. You know that when Christ promises that those who believe on Him, that those who trust Him, will attain to eternal life, that He means it. And that promise is for you, and that you can rest in that. And so you've gone that far. But you see, your Lord requires more of you than that, Christian. That you go out into the world, and that you minister His gospel, that you be His mouthpiece, that you be His hands and feet in this fallen world, that others might know the hope and the peace that is so freely given, that others might drink of the cistern of living waters that Christ Jesus offers to each and every man and woman. Now, if you were in the military, and you said to your superior officer, I go, sir, and you do not go, what will happen to you? You take that pretty seriously, right? But when your Father in heaven says go, and you say, I go, sir, do you do the same? We'll leave that point there. Do what you say and say what you do. Leave it at that and follow it through. Beware of hypocritical speech. Two-faced, not only speech, but thinking. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. Let your speech always be with grace. Speech ought to be redemptive and not destructive. Remember the case of Judas, right? He poured it on the master, always calling Jesus rabbi and master and pretending that he was taking in every word that his master said. But as soon as he wasn't around, or so he thought, he did his own thing. He did the opposite. And we condemn Judas Iscariot as a heinous traitor and a villain. But do you do that to other people, to other Christians? Have you fallen into that? I think we've all fallen into the sin of evil speaking, or if not evil speaking, evil thinking about another person. Ascribing motives or certain characteristics to another person that don't paint them in a very good light, forgetting that child of God, or if not a child of God, creation of God, made in the similitude of Him, as the object of his earnest love and desire? Many Christians would do well to dissect the Word of God the way that they dissect other Christians and other people. Stay away from people like that. For evil company corrupts good habits. Little lies. There's no such thing as a little lie. Well, it was just a little lie. It was just a small thing that I put in there. Or a small thing that I left out. Well, there's a scriptural principle for that too. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? A little bit of dishonesty is dishonesty. Call it what it is. Often leads to a spider's web of dishonesty. Have you ever told a small lie? As a child, as an adult, just a little lie. And then you had to tell another lie to cover up the first one, and a third lie to cover up the second one. And then the story went on to other people. So you've got this spider's web here, and you can't remember who you told what, who might have heard what from who. And if you just told the truth in the first place, you wouldn't have been in this predicament. Right? This is an example of you reap what you sow. God allows us to get into those types of situations so that we'll learn from them. And much learning is lifelong. That's why these things are in this book. These aren't for little children or maybe baby Christians. Don't feel that any of these things aren't for you. The minute we start feeling that we're above sin or above a particular sin, we're very likely to fall in it. Before the fall cometh pride. God is straight up with you and I. Are you looking for a prime example of honesty in speech? Well, look upwards. For God is not a man that he could lie, or a son of man that he could repent. In God the Father is no variation, a shadow of turning. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't move from place to place. He doesn't say one thing and do another. For he has said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, had God not made our sinful condition clear to us, we'd probably deceive ourselves thinking that we're okay. Thank God that he was straight up and told us like it is. Otherwise, we'd never see our need for Christ Jesus. For the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to salvation, to lead us to the foot of the cross. How would we know that we need Jesus Christ if he didn't tell us? How would we know what we need to do to become conformed more and more into his image if he didn't tell us these things? Therefore, read this word. Study this word. Forsake not the public attendance of the public worship and the faithful attendance of Bible studies and prayer meetings and the like, getting together with Christian brothers and sisters, and not just getting together, but getting together around this book. Any Christian gathering that doesn't have this book at the center and scriptural precepts guiding it is not a Christian gathering at all. We could do that in the secular house just as well. Around this book, and let this book change you. See, we have given you examples every other week over the last few weeks Anger, the root cause of murder. Lust, the root cause of adultery. And again, speech, the root cause of bearing false witness, of lying. If we work on the small things, the big things will come. When our lives are characterized by doing the small things right, the big things will fall into place. Don't try to tackle the mountain, but begin at the foot of the mountain and work your way up. Now, we'll never get to the top of the proverbial mountain where our speech is always 100% absolutely perfectly truthful. Only God can do that. We'll slip up. We'll slip up. But pray that the Lord will change you from the inside out. And as I've said before, be straight up in prayer. Take this principle right into your prayer room. I say this for your own benefit. God is not mocked. Everything about Jesus Christ and about Christianity is the honest truth, simply proclaimed. May the Spirit conform each and every one of us more and more into His image. God bless everyone in the hearing of this word, in this assembly, and the remainder of our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.